Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Grasim Industries Limited. We have from the management Mr. H.K. Agarwal, Managing Director, Mr. Jayant Dhobley, CEO, Global Chemicals and Group Business Head, VFY and Insulators, Mr. Jayant Dua, Chief Executive Officer, Chemical Division, and Mr. Ashish Adukia, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Adukia, CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, and good afternoon to all the participants. FY 2022 till now has been a defining year for the company as the company accomplished 75 successful years of its incorporation. We are privileged to continue with legacy of our founding fathers of the company and thankful to our fellow colleagues, shareholders, customers, and all the other stakeholders who've been part of this wonderful journey. One of the pillars of our, you know, 75 years of existence has been resilience. That has come about from our commitment to the growth. We have continuously invested in our capacity expansion, technology advancement, and process improvement in our core businesses. Today, when India Inc. is making new capital commitments, Grasim is well ahead of the curve as we had planned our capacity additions in core businesses ahead of time and now nearing completions. One of the important themes in this quarter is project commissioning. Starting with VSF Vilayat plant of 600 TPD VSF capacity at Vilayat. 300 TPD was commissioned in November 2021, and the balance 300 TPD has been commissioned just this week. The total VSF capacity has increased by 37% to  810 KTPA from 591 KTPA. With the growing domestic demand in VSF, we are confident of fast ramp-up of this capacity to make additional capacity available to our customers. In the chlor-alkali business, as of quarter three FY 2022, 91 KTPA caustic soda plant at Rehla is fully commissioned, and Balabhadrapuram phase one plant is partially commissioned with 26 KTPA. The total capacity will get augmented to 1,530 KTPA by quarter one of FY 2024, because there are a few more commissioning that will take place from 1,147 KTPA today. The chlorine value-added plant, chloromethane plant of 55 KTPA at Vilayat was also commissioned in quarter three of FY 2022. The total CapEx amount budgeted for the entire year was 2,604 crore, and that was excluding paints. For nine-month FY 2022, the actual amount spent stood at 1,476 crore. We'll certainly close the year well within the budgeted CapEx amount. For the paints business, we have received two environmental clearances for two parcels of land. You know, the CapEx in those two sites will get accelerated. The CapEx spent amount is at 505 crore till now on paints, which is mainly towards acquisition of land parcels. We completed disinvestment of fertilizer business on first of January. At the time of announcement of the transaction, which was more than a year back, the enterprise value for the disinvestment of fertilizer was at 2,649 crore, which included the outstanding subsidy amount at that time, which was part of the working capital. The final consideration amount received by the company on 1st Jan 2022 was at 1,860 crore, and this is after adjusting for subsidy already received from the government during the year, and there has been small adjustments on account of capex and working capital. With this sale, the company has turned net cash positive on standalone basis again after a gap of 12 quarters. Pro forma net debt adjusting the December end net debt with the proceeds of fertilizer comes to negative 432 crores. Sustainability has been another key area of focus for the company, and we have incurred more than 500 crore in the last 5 years, and this is in BSF, and they have earmarked a total amount of 1,000 crore towards achieving global standards. The BSF business has taken the target to achieve net zero carbon emissions across all its operations by 2040. Grasim participated for the first time in Carbon Disclosure Project, CDP, in 2021 and has received management band score B-. At Grasim, our commitment to improve the quality of ESG data reporting is increasingly being recognized by the external world. In another major achievement, the company has received Gold Shield Award for integrated reporting and excellence in financial reporting. So these are two awards from the ICAI. Another theme emerging in the quarter was unprecedented rise in prices of crude and derivatives and coal, etc., which emanated from demand-supply imbalances, logistical challenges created by country-specific COVID restriction, and these have continued unabated. The BSF business has witnessed almost 400 crore plus of cost escalation sequentially. Grasim's backward integrated model will provide relief at the time of such extreme volatility in the prices, as the rise in caustic prices, for example, aids chemicals division's performance. There are business-wise initiatives like improvement in consumption norms, improvement in share in of renewable energy, which will all benefit in the long run. I'll briefly touch upon the key performance, operational and financial performance. The strong operational performance of BSF has been induced by strong demand for textile products in India during Q3 FY22. Despite state-specific restrictions, the domestic textiles value chain has been operating close to its peak capacity, which is led by demand uptick and is evident in the share of domestic sales, which increased to 91% this quarter from 84% in the last quarter. The share of value-added products in the overall BSF sales mix has increased to 29% on sequential basis from 27%. In terms of volume, the VAP volume has gone up from 41 KT to 46 KT, an increase of 11% QOQ and 46% YOY. And why volume becomes more important than value is mix or the percentage is because the gray capacity has gone up due to Vilayat's expansion. VFI business also reported a strong operational and financial performance on a sequential basis, driven by strong growth in demand and improvement in realization despite the cost pressures. The viscose business reported net revenue, including VFI, of 3,335 crore and EBITDA of 401 crore. The VFY business reported a revenue and EBITDA of 574 crore and 80 crore respectively. The international caustic prices witnessed an upward trend for the fourth straight quarter. The domestic caustic soda prices went up on back of domestic demand and higher international prices. The caustic soda capacity utilization touched multi-year high of 93% in Q3, up 7% sequentially. The ECU is at all-time high with revenue increase more than offsetting the cost increase due to power cost. VAP performance suffered from cost pressures and weak demand as well. The advanced materials, i.e. epoxy business, have also witnessed a YOY improvement in the operational and financial performance, driven by a better product mix on the back of strong demand from the wind segment. However, epoxy segment is witnessing some cost pressures which may impact margins going forward, mainly due to timing difference. The revenue and EBITDA for chemicals division stood at 2,338 crore and EBITDA of 528 crore respectively. The standalone performance overall for Grasim for Q3 was strong at with revenues up by 56% to 5,785 crore and PAT up 46% to 522 crore on a YOY basis. At the consolidated level, the same figures were that revenue was up 16% to 24,402 crore and PAT up by 26% to 1,746 crore for the quarter on YOY basis. With this, I would like to hand over the call back to the operator to take it forward.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one on your phone. We have the first question from the line of Naveen Sahadio from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So two questions here. One, in VSF, you mentioned operating rates in China are at a record, like, you know, at a decent high of 83%. But yet in December end, we have seen, like, you know, prices coming down on January. I don't think there is very good recovery. So is it all this attributable only to the Chinese New Year related sluggishness, or is there some more issues around it?
You want to go with your second question as well so that we can...
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you for this. So my second question then was about the paints business. Glad to hear we've already received environment clearance for two plants. So would it then be appropriate to ask which locations are these, what capacities are these, and by when can the plant see the light of the day? Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Navneet. On your first question about VSF operating rate in China, so it touched a high of 85% for some weeks, and now it has come down to 82% and even 81% after the Chinese New Year. And inventory has also started to move up. During the Chinese New Year, most of the VSF plants continued to operate, while the spinners, our customers, did not operate. So there was accumulation of inventory buildup. And this is a normal phenomena in China, because this Chinese New Year is every year phenomena, and there is a typical buying behavior. So many spinners buy the VSF before the Chinese New Year, because they expect that after the New Year, the prices are normally higher than before the Chinese New Year. So they try to hedge their cost before. So it is just the 1 week of post-Chinese New Year. Operators are still opening. The spinners have not yet fully resumed. The downstream is still not fully open. So we have to see. So price going down is a just a normal, because inventory had gone up and there was a dull activity. So we have to look for the clear trend now in coming weeks. So I hope this clarifies your question.
Yeah, helpful. I'm just trying to, understand that, given that cotton has been on a rise sustainably, but we haven't really seen that kind of a sustainable increase in VSF. So I'm just trying to check, do we expect prices now to improve, or it's still, you're saying, difficult to really take a call on that?
The prices should increase because cotton is all-time high. And now polyester staple fiber prices are also increasing on the back of higher crude prices. And there is a historical correlation between VSF PSF prices and VSF cotton prices. Of course, the cotton and the VSF prices have diverged, and this kind of gap is unprecedented. And that is because on cotton, there are a lot of financial players also, and there is an expectation of more shortage in cotton. Whereas in VSF, the competition among Chinese players is a little bit more intense than we would like to see. So that is the reason. But we expect the prices to go up and to some extent cover the cost increase more than what it has been the case last quarter.
Okay.
Naveed, your second question, the ECR received basically for our north-based plants, which is Panipat and Ludhiana. And we should actually receive ECs for others as well soon, because south-based plants, we were the first ones that we had signed up with the state government.
Correct. So congrats on that. And I think I'm sure investors will then be very keen to also know that since North EC has received, so definitely more color on this as to what is the CAPEX outflow that we can look at and the timeline for the plant commissioning, what capacity. I think that color will be really helpful. Thanks.
Sure. No, the point noted. I think we are again early stages. I think land generally is a little bit always unknown how much time it will take when we look at EC. So now that we are also gaining more visibility on land and ECs, so hopefully by next quarter we'll be able to give you more picture on the CapEx, forecast and other stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nirav Modia from Envil Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
Sir, my first question would be in terms of value-added VSF. I think we have reported best ever quarterly volumes in terms of the value-added volumes. Like it is up 56% from the start of the year. So my question is, sir, how much further we can take these volumes based on our current value-added capacity? And if we can add further that, how much more capex we need to incur in order to take our value-added volumes to 40%, which is our long-term goal.
So, Nirav, your question is very interesting question. So we are running our VAP capacity almost to the full. But we have the flexibility to convert some of our lines which produce gray to VAP, depending on the demand situation. So, like we have been waiting for schools to reopen for uniform market to pick up so that we can make more dope dyed fiber, which is one of the VAP. We are running our XL plant, which is lyocell category of VSF, to almost full, but we are also experimenting with increasing the capacity marginally. And Eva Eco is one product where capacity is not a constraint, but it depends on the seasonality of buying and getting more orders from brands. So by end of next year, we hope that we will increase the VAP volume significantly. And along with increasing the VAP volume, percentage-wise, it may not increase because our gray capacity is increasing significantly, so denominator is increasing, so that is a different thing. But we are also increasing our realization on VAP products as much as we can. So on both sides, we should see expect better performance on VAP product category.
So the last time on the call, you explained that since we have some sort of fungible capacity where we can improve our Liva Eco production, but with this, won't it shrink our premium of the margins what we get in the value-added VSF over the gray VSF? Because then we are already at the optimum level of utilization for the lyocell or the modal, probably which you mentioned in your opening remarks.
Yeah, so we can convert one more line from gray to modal, depending on the market situation. So in India, it will take time for market to catch up, but then for some time, we may export more modal out of India. So So this is always a matter of time for the demand to catch up. Capacity can be increased in one step wherever we can. So is a like increase capacity, then market increases, and we utilize the capacity fully, then we again find out ways to increase the capacity. Sometime it can be very small increment, sometime it has to be a little bit bigger step increment in capacity.
And so, like, if you can put some sort of capex numbers for improving our volumes of VAP to 40%, that would be helpful, sir.
So, not significant capex, except in Excel. Excel will need definitely more capex, but other VAPs we can increase the volume without much capex. So our focus will be to increase the VAP, other VAPs other than Excel.
Got it, sir. So my second question is on the VSF again. So in the opening remarks, you mentioned that VSF business has seen a cost increase of 400 crores sequentially. So if you can attribute the increase in the power cost out of this 400 crores, because even on a sequential basis, we have seen 350 crores increase in our power cost. So some sort of understanding there in terms of the increase in the cost from the VSF business.
So out of 400 crore, roughly 120 crore is on the energy, power and steam together, like mostly natural gas and coal, etc.
Okay.
So, see, I think to answer your question, I think you're probably talking about power cost increase at overall Grasim level.
Yes, correct, sir. Correct.
Yeah, but that is mainly on account of caustic, because that's the power intensive plant, business rather. So VSF, you have to focus on the increase in the pulp cost and the caustic cost. That's the primary reasons for the part of that 400 crore that you're seeing. And that's an absolute number that we've given, 400 crore. So of course, because of volume increase also, there may be some variable cost increase. We're just comparing quarter on quarter to say there's a 400 crore plus increase in the variable cost. So.
And sir, is it possible to share, like, in terms of our increased capacities both for VSF as well as for the caustic division, how much currently we are based on captive requirements, and probably some sort of capacities we are also adding in the renewables also. So let's say when we will be utilizing our both the capacities optimally, how much would be our power integration, if you can share?
No, so we have shared our renewable capacity share, right, where we are going up to 10% with whatever group captive schemes, etc., that we are going to. So that's roughly that. And then about 40-50% is our captive power from what we...
See, on VSF, we have 100% captive power, because we need steam and power in a certain ratio. And steam we cannot purchase from outside, but on chloralkali side, we have
50%
power from grid and renewables.
Okay. Sir, if I can just squeeze one last question based on the bookkeeping questions. It's like on the pulp JV, we have reported the losses. So just a clarification, that is this because we have produced some 25,000 tons or probably sold 25,000 tons of lesser volume sequentially, because of which our profits are lesser? Because if I do some arithmetic calculation in terms of the realizations, what we have reported, I think we would, if we adjust those less volume sold, we would have been in the profits from the pulp JV. So is that understanding correct?
Yeah, your understanding is correct. We had some reliability issues in our plants in the last quarter, and that resulted in lower production. And then when the plant doesn't produce, then there are, on the contrary, more expenses on maintenance and on some energy thing. So it becomes compounded, problem becomes compounded. So your understanding is right. If we had produced fully as per the previous quarter, then we would have been in profit.
Thank you so much for answering the questions in detail, sir. All the best, and I'll join back in the queue if any, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Neerav.
The next question is in the line of Chintan Chheda from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is related to caustic soda. So we are in a very good cycle of caustic soda right now, but the performance of ECU division continues to get negatively impacted by chlorine. So I just wanted to understand, like, what are the plans of the management to tackle this issue?
So I think fair point. So what normally happens if you look at the industry, chlorine becomes the kind of a bottleneck for caustic supplies to increase because chlorine can't be transported. I mean, that's the first understanding we need to get. And when the run rate of caustic on prices is good, everybody maximizes caustic production. And typically, chlorine gets into negative. And that's been the historical record in India, because in India, the primary product is caustic and the byproduct is chlorine, which is reversed in the global scenario because of PVC. So what we are doing at this point of time, and you would have seen and you would have heard Ashish talking about the projects. So one large chlorine derivative project, CMS, got commissioned in Vilayat. And you would have also seen the press note of this time, which talks about ECH, which is now going to come up in 25. So there is a progressive work which is happening on chlorine integration in the business. It is going to be a couple of years before our current captive consumption, which is of chlorine of around 29-30%, will jump to around 45-50%. And that journey, I think, as we keep on adding more and more products in production, and, you know, we'll keep saying. But that's clearly a line of focus for us going forward. And you're seeing the initial work on it come through in the CMS part.
Okay. So at, suppose, say, 40% kind of utilization of chlorine, will that impact on the spreads will not be negative? Like, what can we just get to the sense on the margins, basically? How can we just lead to our margin improvement?
So I think you need to look at chlorines. When I talk about chlorine captive consumption of 40%, that's the chlorine derivatives what you're talking about. Then there is HCl also, and then there is tunner sale which happens. So overall, if you look at a 93% capacity utilization, that means 93% of the chlorine produced got evacuated in the plant. So that's the thing. So there are three or four ways you cut chlorine and look into it. What we control in our own production facility is today 30-odd%, which will go to about 45% over the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and the margin impact on that will certainly be positive. And but each derivative has a very different margin because the end use is different, chemistry is different. So it's very difficult to say what the margin improvement would be on an overall basis, but each product is very, very different. It's not a range.
It's not a straight line which you can do. But clearly, if you see from a negative tonner sale or chlorine outside market sale, the margin accretion is positive.
Okay, and how much we sell through pipeline today?
We have approximately on an enterprise basis about 15%, which is on the pipeline. We have our own consumption at about 30%. HCl takes another about 12-15%, and about 35-40% goes through our tunnel sales.
Okay, got that. And so my second question is again related to caustic soda. So we are, along with you, there is a couple of more players who are adding capacities very soon in India. So then how do you see this impact on the overall caustic cycle for the domestic market?
Here you have to go a little bit into the history. And if you look at the last about a four-quarter history, India has been at a discount to CFR SEA for some time. In the month of January, which we'll talk about in the next quarter, is when they both have come. And this is a step curve. Any country which will add capacity in any such product will go through a 18-24-month cycle before it normalizes and it comes back. So as capacities will come up in India, you will see going forward logically excess capacity of production. But again, here the question comes back to your earlier chlorine consumption. It will be the chlorine capacity utilization which will drive the caustic capacity and not the other way around.
Okay. So probably in first half of FY23, when a lot of capacities come on stream, you could see a weaker second half in FY23. Is that the, can be the right logical assumption?
I think we should not look that far ahead. particularly with the volatility caustic prices have been going through within a month from a $900 to a $475. So my take is, yes, fundamentally every time a capacity comes in, it does create market pressure. But I wouldn't really look that far ahead at this point of time.
Okay, got that. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is on VSF pricing versus cotton. So the way cotton has risen in terms of pricing, has there been any demand destruction for cotton customers and some of them have moved to us? I mean, maybe not to us, but to some of the other international players because our export mix seems very less. So has there been any migration of cotton customers to VSF in global markets and maybe also in India?
Yes, I think it happens because when the delta is so much, it is natural for the textile people to start using more of VSF and optimize or reduce the cotton consumption. They do divert some spindles from cotton spinning to VSF spinning, and also at the fabric stage they can do more blending. So all kind of levers are there in the hands of downstream. So we are seeing very robust use of VSF in India and also globally. So it's clearly happening. Now how much, I will not be able to give you a precise number, but it does happen and it is happening.
But a number of volume of VSF at 157,000 doesn't look very extraordinarily high versus, I mean, we are doing 140, 150 anyway earlier, like last year. And with the added capacity also, I mean, in such environment, why industry is not able to sell much more in terms of VSF?
We were selling whatever we could produce, so that was our constraint. And now since we have already commissioned additional capacity, so we expect to sell more. So now we have more material to sell and we are able to sell increasingly higher volumes in India. That is our first preference because then we don't have to incur high shipping cost.
Capacity in both businesses are 90 plus.
Yeah. So now we are at like quarterly capacity of around 200,000 odd. So from Q4 onwards, we should like model number of volumes, leaving aside some external factors like COVID impact. Yeah. But number of for the 180,000 or 170,000 should be doable on a quarterly basis.
So our India VSF capacity...
Your voice is very low, I think.
Our India VSF capacity has, with the commissioning of new lines, has reached about 8.1 lakh ton. So on quarterly basis, we should expect fairly equal volume, say, quarter one next year onwards. Because this quarter, we will be stabilizing the new lines and there will be some teething challenges, but from next quarter we should expect reasonably good increase in the volume and course of our capacity.
Okay, and just one more thing, given we have capacity constraints and given a cost has increased so much from quarter to quarter year on year, so what stops us from taking more price hikes to offset our increase in cost, because our profitability has halved almost in this VSF segment over two quarters, from around 40 rupees per kg to 20 rupees per kg. So is it import competition, because we are largely selling in domestic? So what prevents us from taking hikes which could offset cost, as anyway we are running at very high utilization?
Yeah, so there are two factors we keep in mind. If we increase the prices, yes, we can increase to some extent, but then there we are opening the risk of imports from China or from Indonesia. Because after all, everybody can export even after paying the high shipping cost. And then we have to keep our prices in line with the possible blended cost of import. We do charge premium for the domestic supply, just-in-time supply and all those things, but there has to be a reasonable level. If the difference is too wide, then we are taking a huge risk of imports. And second is, if we increase the price, then yarn cost will be high, and then there is a risk of VSY yarn imports coming. So that is another lid which restricts our ability to increase the prices beyond a point. So we have seen that even if then yarn prices are very high, though our prices are not so high, but yarn imports come and ultimately it eats into our demand in India. So these are the two levers we have to always keep in mind. But we try to maximize our prices as much as possible.
Sure, understood. And sir, what would be our premium to imports from various countries in terms of pricing in for VSF?
So roughly about 3%, 2 to 3%.
I think last time also we had mentioned that there is a convergence of landed and this thing. So, you know, it's more or less converged now.
Yeah, we try to charge a premium for our quality, for our services, for just-in-time thing and all those things. But we cannot be too greedy.
Sure, sir. These were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. The first question, just continuing the previous question on our cost VSF volumes. This year, assuming we'll be doing something around 630-640, 200 KT per quarter, we're looking at somewhere around 25-30% volume growth, both in VSF and costing. Is that the right understanding as a ballpark guidance for FY23 in terms of volume growth for both these businesses?
No, so you see, tough to give volume growth. I think it's easy to calculate when I said that, you know, we're running historically at 90 plus capacity utilization and we will run our new capacities at that. We should be able to. So,
understand.
And, you know, the benefit that we have in caustic is that VSF has increased, right? So caustic will, new capacity has the capability to feed into that as well. And then on the eastern side, there is alumina capacity that have come on back of strong aluminum prices. So there is market out there. And VSF, Mr. Agrawal has already spoken about.
Understand. So basically in terms of ramp up beyond a couple of months, we don't really require a ramp up period. That's the understanding I'm getting. And also we won't face any market constraints to place this quantity of volume in the market. So is that the right understanding of the discussion?
Yeah, you are right. And domestic market may take some time to catch up, and in the meantime, if there is any surplus, we can export. But of course, the netback may be slightly less because of high shipping costs. But we do not expect a serious problem in producing and selling the entire volume.
Got it. Second question is with respect to the CapEx. Now, we are very close to concluding our existing phase of expansion. What sort of capex will be left over in FY23, and in terms of our paint business also next year, what sort of capex are we looking at?
Yeah, so Mangal, I think right time to discuss that would be in the next quarter, mostly when we would have finished our budgeting, etc. I think for FY22, like I said, out of the balance capex that we have, comfortably we'll be able to finish well within that. Approved capex that we've mentioned on the slide 7.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth of Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I mean, a large part of the question has been answered, but structurally, if we have to look at, I mean, this VSF gray business, so looking at the kind of, I mean, convergence of import price and domestic price, so VSF gray as well as VSF yarn, VFY. So how one really understand that which will be the demand driver and how the global capacity is and what level is operating and there can be a, say, if incrementally the way cotton prices are increasing and U.S. is putting a pressure from import from China, which is a reflection of a high cotton yarn prices also. So how, if you can give some color, that will be a great help from, say, 2-3 years perspective.
Sorry, Bharat, I think, you know, some of these questions, like you said, it's covered. Is there anything specific? Because I think in terms of guidance, we don't give...
I'm talking industry per se.
What's the specific question in industry?
So how much, sir, globally VSF demand is increasing, VSF as well as VFY, and simultaneously how much capacity is available and operating at what level and further new capacity which is getting added?
Sure.
Okay. So on a global basis, the CY21 demand for VSF is estimated to be around 6 million tons.
Correct.
The capacity is estimated to be around 8.5 million tons.
Okay.
So you can calculate the overhang or capacity utilization.
Okay.
Now, new capacities... there was some capacity addition in 2020. In 21, not much. And in 22, there have been some announcements, but we have to watch how much of that comes on the stream. And the demand is expected to grow globally around 4%, around 4%. And in India, the demand is expected to grow at much higher rate, because India is still not at the high maturity level in terms of VSF use. So in India, we have added our capacity about 220,000 tons. Right? And so you can now understand whatever color you want to give to the industry picture.
And how much, sir, import is currently in India, I mean? And one is a VSF and second on VFY.
So in India, there is not much import.
Yeah, negligible. Yeah.
Not much import. And yarn is again an open commodity which happens. So statistics are available. Yarn is on the range of 80,000 tons per year. VSF imports are much lower than that.
You have to look at yarn and fiber together. Yeah, because depending on the prices, yarn can start coming in.
He is asking for VFY.
VFY.
Oh, VFY is a different thing, I think, Jayant. You may.
Yeah.
And
VFY, about two-thirds of the Indian demand is met through imports. One-third is met essentially by grass.
And the value-added product that we are talking, so how is that is really playing for the industry?
Value-added products are... good for the industry, because then Indian textile value chain becomes that much more high value adding, and it improves the industry structure and is a reflection of higher aspiration of Indian consumers.
Okay. So it's a last question on this caustic soda side. See, our capacity, we are increasing almost by, say, by till 25, almost 50% from currently 10 lakh ton to 15 lakh ton, correct? Understanding?
Yeah, that's right. From
that's
1147 KTPA to 1530.
Yeah. And how much, sir, will that be then again now, as you explained, that value added will be 40% by that time? In for grassing, and so tunnel chale and all. So how much that will be met, and how much will be the where there could be a chances of a negative carry there?
No, so let me kind of take a stab at your question. So see, I think what we are talking about is increase in caustic, right?
Yeah.
The capacity increase. On a separate front, we are working on chlorine derivatives also.
Correct.
In each of our location that we are present in, we are working on chlorine derivative. And what we've given as a target in 2025 of, 40-45% roughly, whatever, is on account of this new derivative capex that we'll put up, which includes CMS, ECH, etc.
Correct.
So that's really what the plan is, and we are trying to put up both capacities in parallel so that, you know, it whenever there is extra chlorine that is getting created, we have some project that is ongoing to absorb that part of that chlorine that is getting generated. Because end of the day, we want to avoid tonne movement.
And just to add one more reference point, and I'm not getting into data with you, the chlorine demand is growing at a faster rate as compared to the caustic demand. So clearly you have a positive cycle there relatively.
Okay, because of this demand for PVC.
From my side, so there is no value-added product in caustic. Okay? Caustic is sold as caustic. The value-added products are only in chlorine.
Correct.
And they serve two purposes. They serve chlorine evacuation and they serve addition of value, because chlorine, as you know, we sell in the trade market at low to negative.
And currently our captive is and how much in the pipeline that we are talking, so that will also be a, do we have a plan to increase those?
We are continuously in talks with potential chlorine users who can then can pick up, put their plants adjoining to our plants. So that's got subject of getting their EC land availability. So lots of ifs and buts in that. But that's a constant dialogue which goes on with prospective chlorine consumption players.
Okay. So by 25...
Sorry, sir. May I request you please
respond? Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Jain from Choice Institutional Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Yash.
Yes, okay. Hi, sir. This is Abhimanyu Kasliwa from Choice Institutional Equity. Most of my questions were answered. I wanted to ask regarding the capex, sir. If I heard correctly, 2604 crore capex was budgeted for this year and 1476 crore was completed. So roughly 1150 crores, up to 1150 crores you can say is left for this quarter. I wanted to know, and this might be a very beginner question, but would this 1476 crores include the 965 crores capex on cement?
No, this is on a standalone basis. So
okay.
If I can guide you to the chart on page 7, we cover only standalone businesses of Grasim, which is BSF. So you have the breakup of the balance capex of 1128 into BSF, chloralkali, and when I say other businesses, it's basically epoxy, VFI, textiles, insulator, which is all part of Grasim. These are smaller businesses of Grasim.
Understood, sir. Thank you. One more question, sir. Then, since we have roughly 1,100 crores that we are hoping to complete by this quarter, are we seeing some kind of traction in that, or are we going to be well below budget? What do you see, sir?
Yeah, so this is the reflection of our ability to complete our projects at lower cost. So hopefully we end the year with the lesser amount than the spending that we have given.
Okay, wonderful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Modia from Envil Research. Please go ahead.
Sir, with respect to my earlier question, I had just one addition to that. So you mentioned that we'll be adding the capacities substantially on the value-added VSF side. And in your opening remarks, you also mentioned about the sustainability capex, what we have been doing on the VSF side. So this would help us to bring down our cost of production. So if you can relate this some reduction in the cost of production with respect to the slightly lesser realizations in the value-added VAPs, because that would be more towards DOP dyed and the other fibers what you mentioned. So some understanding on this. Basically, my question is to understand that, let's say if some premiums fall for the value-added VSF, how much we can compensate it through the reduction in the cost side?
So normally these two things are not fully related.
Yeah.
Premium on VAP is a function of market situation. And sometimes we are able to pass on the cost, but many times, like recently, the cost increase has been much more than we can pass on. And sometimes it may be that cost reduce and we don't have to pass on that cost reduction in the price.
Yeah.
And increasing the production will not reduce the cost because we are anyway operating at almost 95% of almost full capacity. So it will be a question of which product we produce. And a little bit of debottlenecking or increasing the production, yes, there will be marginal reduction in the cost, but that will be small, not a very big thing.
And just to supplement, you know, see, I think if I get the direction of your question, see, over a longer or a even medium-term horizon, so the new capacities and the bottleneck capacities that are coming are all brownfield. Right, so Vilayat is brownfield and the debottlenecks are in the same, so you're not really incurring large capex to achieve those volumes. So that's where the benefit of mitigating the cost increase or any changes in realization, that's the benefit that you get by reducing the, constantly reducing. In fact, every year we come up with projects where we focus on reduction of cost overall for Grasim, including the VSF business through technology, etc. Now, on the sustainability front that you mentioned, see two things. One is sustainability expenditure that you do actually doesn't necessarily lead to only cost. You're able to get premium for your products from your customers because today customers are demanding that product, right? And because you have that background. Now, Liva Eco is actually an example where you work on your process, your value chain, your product to create a sustainable, fully sustainable product, and there you clearly get premium over the gray. And the way the premium has to be looked at is not necessarily percentage margin over premium. Generally, the prices of these specialty and VAP products is quite stable, and the gray is what moves up and down. So you have to look at the premiumization of VAP from that perspective.
Got it, sir. But sir, like, since we have been demonstrating a lot of examples in terms of the process intensification by almost like we have debottlenecked our capacities by 10% over last 6-7 years. So is it fair to assume that once we utilize these capacities fully, VSF, probably FY23 or FY24, that is a different topic. But let's say whenever we will exhaust those capacities, there is a further scope of some debottlenecking, which would probably come at a very lesser capex cost.
Yeah, we've done that in the past, and we'll continue to find ways and means to debottleneck and increase the capacities.
Sir, the second question is a bookkeeping question. So like you mentioned that the performance for the epoxy this quarter has improved on a YOY basis. So if you can quantify some percentages, like how much it has improved on a YOY basis, that would be helpful, sir.
So we don't isolate epoxy and give that figure. So at the end of the day, if you look at epoxy also, it's in a way a derivative of chlorine, right? You make ECH and then goes into epoxy in that way. What has really happened in epoxy is that the raw material prices of ECH and DPH, etc., has been going up.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of it is getting consumed out of the inventory of the prices that we bought in the past. So therefore, the cost pressure is coming through because of timing differences, what I had mentioned in my opening remark.
We pass on the price.
Okay.
Yeah, and the, you know, inability to pass on that price at this stage.
Got it, sir. Thank you for the answering the questions in detail, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. I have a couple of follow-up questions. On
caustic, in caustic segment, so this coal price has started to rise again or has risen again after I think some softness which we saw in November, December. So, so are the pressure on caustic segment margins again expected to come back, or like industry is again thinking of taking price hike, or the price will support the margins in that segment?
See, normally there is always a lag between the prices of coal to our consumption because there is a certain amount of inventory all of us do keep. You're right, the prices did come down, the prices have gone up again. But I think at this point of time, we believe that the caustic prices have reached a point where, you know, they're kind of stable. The volatility in Indian market is coming down, although and so also in the global market. So my belief is it's better to have a more stable pricing than a volatile pricing that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 months.
But, I mean, being a very basic commodity, what has, like, particularly helped in stabilizing the price, as you suggest?
Again, it's the demand supply. You see, you've got a very good demand coming from the textile sector, and you've got a very good demand coming from the aluminium sector, plus along with your soaps and detergent sector. All these sectors have been doing very high on their own demand cycle, which has led to the stability of demand. And that's why you're seeing the run rates from 85 to 95% across multiple players.
And one last question on VSF inflation. Is this the pulp inflation expected to peak, or is it already peak in third quarter, or is it more inflation is remaining at okay?
So, pulp prices of lately have been more stable than other inputs like caustic or coal or sulfur or zinc. So, pulp prices are not going to show much higher volatility in the coming quarters. That is our expectation.
No, I meant what we booked, pulp prices have been softening as we have discussed earlier from earlier time, but what we have booked in terms of our numbers, so should we start seeing some softening?
The lag effect that, you know, we've always talked about, so we get the benefit or the other way around, the impact of the prices almost 4 to 6 months down the line because of...
Yeah, because of two factors. One, we follow the index of previous quarter for this quarter supplies from our supplier, and then there is a long supply chain. It takes almost 1.5 months for the pulp to arrive from the origin to destination, and then there is always some inventory.
Yep.
So there is a gap of almost 4 or 5 months from the time of index to our consumption.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking. So has the lower cost inventory started to show up in our numbers, or is it still like 6 months away because the price of pulp has been falling for some time?
Yeah, so we have already passed the peak for the time being, if you want a precise answer to your question. Yeah.
So peak is behind us.
Yeah.
Sure, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
No, thanks for everyone's participation on the call. We look forward to seeing you again in the next quarter. Please reach out to Saket for any clarifications, queries that you may have on the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Grasim Industries, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.